greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Hey, it is Tuesday, January the 30th, and we have for you today one of those special TFMR podcasts for everybody in the whole world to enjoy. You might recall back in 2016, we were able to shine the light on a handful of mining shares that we thought were really uniquely positioned going forward, and not just gold and silver miners, some regular base and industrial metal miners too. And one of them that we discovered back then was Callinex Mines. Now, I hadn't had a chance to talk to Max Porterfield since the fall of 2016. Now, fortunately for all of us, his company stock is about where it was back in the fall of 2016. But they've had some important changes. They moved forward along the way. And we all know how compelling the story is this year for commodities in general. Some of the base metals, zinc, has just been fantastic for the last year and a half or so. And so I thought, what a great time to talk to Max again and get brought up to speed on everything that's going on at Callinex. So, Max, thank you so much for spending a couple minutes with me.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate being here.
Hey, my friend, I tell you what, let's just dive right in. Everybody here has heard me talk about the falling dollar for the last year or so and how we think it's going to fall farther this year. And what that means for commodities in general, you know, that are priced in dollars, and as the dollar falls, their prices tend to go up. Zinc's been on a heck of a run, and as I said, zinc is your primary product. You know, there are inklings of a shortage in the zinc market. Do you see that kind of thing out there? And how do you think, items like Trump's infrastructure plan could accelerate the growth in that market too?
Yeah. So, definitely a weak U.S. dollar is going to be great for commodities. I mean, you're seeing across the base metals and precious metals space right now, and eventually that's going to lead into the equities. In terms of zinc in particular, when we last spoke, we were really kind of calling for the bottom in the zinc cycle. And it was just shortly thereafter that you had a continued decrease into zinc prices below 80 cents for a very short period of time. There was murmurs in the industry that there was potential that Glencore, the world's largest zinc producer, was going to go out of business.
Right.
We found that as a great opportunity to grow the company. Like we had mentioned with you, zinc prices have since then rallied from sub-80 cents to hitting $1.63 earlier this week. That's at a decade high. And this is based upon the supply-demand fundamentals behind the commodity itself, as well as, you know, of course, the prospects for global growth and what we're seeing out there with government policies helping quite a bit. With that being said, over the past 6 years, you've seen a decline in above-ground zinc inventories. And the really critical tipping point, I think, is around 200,000 tons, which in the London Exchange, the LME, it's now down to 180,000 tons. So, you know, basically in simple terms, you've got less than 10 days of above-ground inventory stockpiled for zinc at a time when you have steady demand growth for zinc. And I think if these infrastructure plans come true, it would obviously have a big ramification on demand as well.
Well, and as you look at that and you see this this global growth, these plans that are being kicked in, Trump will do a State of the Union tonight, and he'll talk about infrastructure in the U.S. and all of the spending that needs to take place there. How do you see all of that? I mean, is that going to have a dramatic impact on all the base metals besides this dollar falling?
Yes, absolutely. I think that if you were to ask any citizen, you know, do they think that the infrastructure can be improved within the United States? I think a resounding answer would be yes. I mean, it's something that everyone sees every day. And I don't think that they disapprove of having their tax dollars go to those type of things. If you look at, you know, interstate build-out in the United States really occurred in the 1950s. Obviously, those bridges, roads take steel. And a big part of steel and really what gives it its a long life and extends the life is the galvanization process, which is used, using to galvanize steel. So quite simply, any kind of infrastructure spending out there, particularly in the United States or in China, where you see that being big government policy, is going to have dramatic impacts on the demand side of the equation while you have this very, very tight market in the zinc space overall.
And Max, remind everybody again, frankly, remind me, where are your properties? What stages are they at in terms of production, that type of thing?
Yeah, so when we first spoke, we were primarily focused on Manitoba, but we found, again, we were looking at the zinc cycle and how it was going to play out with the supply-demand imbalance, and that was a tremendous opportunity to go out and acquire zinc assets, really at pennies on the dollar, where their valuation and trading at could be acquired today. So we when we did that, we acquired three zinc deposits in eastern Canada in April 2017, again, when zinc was sub 80 cents. And really, there were long-term option call on zinc prices, which kind of came in the money, so to speak, shortly thereafter with the big rally you've had in zinc prices. So with that being said, we've focused on expanding our zinc assets in eastern Canada, particularly in the Bathurst camp of New Brunswick, where we have our Nash Creek and Superjack projects. Our Nash Creek deposit that we acquired, we began exploring actually in June of this past year, 2017, with our kind of first pass exploration that's proven to be very, very successful. What makes that project unique, before we get into the exploration that we've done there, is the fact that it's right off of a highway, high voltage power, water, within close proximity, about 25 kilometers, or call it 15 to 20 miles away from a smelter that's operated by Glencore as well as rail line. So there's not many assets and deposits that are in that close proximity to infrastructure that are out there. So being able to acquire that really at the when really no one really was too in love with zinc, so to speak, just because of kind of the price action on that, which wasn't incentivizing the exploration or development, we were able to acquire it. And since then, we've recently announced that we've expanded the strike length or the length of the deposit by roughly 50% through two rounds of drilling. Our most recent drilling campaign that consisted of 35 holes, we've announced roughly half those holes to date. We've expanded the deposit from when we acquired it another 600 meters to the north with increasing grades. So I think a key catalyst for us is going to be the updated resource on the property that we're looking to publish in the next month and a half or so, followed by a preliminary economic assessment on the deposit, really as a first pass, look at what a mining operation might look like at Nash Creek. So it's been a very exciting past year and a half for us, both from the, the underlying commodity side, as well as, what we've been able to accomplish as a company moving forward.
With what you said, Max, about a site like that being so close to the smelter and with all the other critical infrastructure that's already there, remind everybody a little bit about ultimately what your business plan is for Calinex. I mean, is it something where you're prepared to take these assets and turn them full bore into production? Obviously, they're nice and close to home in Canada. Or do you see yourself also as a potential M&A target for some of the bigger companies?
Well, we're most definitely advancing the asset ourselves through exploration and beginning to look at those development studies. With the publishing of the preliminary economic assessment that I just mentioned to you. With that being said, because it's close to proximity, it's not going to be an asset that's going to need $1 billion capital cost to go into production like you often have with these deposits that are very remote. So we're definitely advancing it, and we're very aggressive in advancing it. With that being said, it is natural within the cycle of an exploration company for it to be acquired by a miner. So that is a potential opportunity for the company going forward as well, is being a takeout candidate.
Jeez, I would think like something like Glencore, all I got to do is look down the road and go, well, okay, this makes a little bit of sense.
I mean, there's a producer actually within very close proximity to the Nash Creek deposit, which is called Trevally. Glencore is a very large shareholder of Trevally, and they've got the Caribou mine that they are operating with an existing processing facility. That's just further down, not too far away, about 100 kilometers or call it 60 miles or so from the Nash Creek deposit. So, definitely I think it's an opportunity for us in the community out there.
So, of course, a lot of this depends on price, commodities in general, their prices. And we talk about zinc in this particular case, but when we talk about commodities, all of that spills over into gold and silver. And so this does affect everybody that's listening to this call, this discussion. And so when we look at commodities, Max, I want to ask you about, you know, some of the things I've been discussing on the site, because I'd be remiss if I didn't get your opinion on this. You know, look around the world, and it seems as if every single asset class is overvalued, whether it's equities, individual sectors within the equity market. You see what's happening in the U.S. bond market is selling off from being perceived as being bid up too high. And you look and you think, gosh, about the only undervalued sector is commodities. I'd like to think this could form kind of a virtuous cycle of funds flowing into the sector. There's really a limited supply of not only commodities, but the mining shares. I mean, there's only so many good mining companies to buy. I mean, do you think this too? I mean, this could really, over the next 12 to 18 months, have a dramatic impact on all commodities, not just zinc, and all mining shares, not just Calinex.
Absolutely. I think it is a big opportunity. It's not too often where you kind of got this mispricing in the market where the underlying equities don't seem to be moving in lockstep with the underlying commodity with which they're either exploring, developing, or producing. In many cases, you are seeing the producer side, but the juniors haven't followed suit so much. So it is a tremendous opportunity to buy these type of companies. Because I don't think you're going to see them at these prices for too long in the distant future, particularly if you have institutional money flows come into the sector, which you really haven't seen over the past 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. But I do think the big move that you've seen in the overall domestic equity space in the United States at some point is going to be redistributed and reallocated back into the commodities sector. So when that does happen, you know, kind of all ships rise in a rising tide. And the tide could be coming in pretty soon here.
So, Max, do you have kind of target prices for zinc this year and next? And have you kind of factored that into your business plan and how soon things might come online and how that might impact earnings to Calinex? I mean, do you have, a target price for zinc going forward that you're kind of focusing on?
Well, our overall long-term price for zinc that we were looking at when we made the decision to begin advancing the Eastern Canadian assets, the ones in Bathurst, particularly the Nash Creek deposit that I had mentioned, kind of discussed briefly earlier. We were looking really at a long-term zinc price of $1.25, and anything over that you kind of consider gravy. Today at $1.63, it's really priced based upon the tightness in the market. I think you can continue to see that, and I think that's analyst consensus. You can kind of continue to see that over the next 12 to 18 months or so. A continued tightening, which would also obviously lead to a higher zinc price, because let's face it, at the end of the day, companies like Calinex aren't going to go out there and risk the capital to explore and develop these type of deposits if there isn't an underlying business case for doing so. So you need a higher commodity price to really spur that. But longer term, in terms of how we're moving the business forward, we're looking at it with $1.25 zinc. To be kind of conservative and taking a very long-term outlook for our business.
And what makes this interesting, what really has piqued my interest, Max, is this idea of tightness in zinc supply. Because a lot of folks, at least on my side, are aware of what's gone on in palladium in the last 6 or 12 months. And it's clearly a very tight market. And available stocks through London are at almost record lows. And you've seen palladium move to new all-time highs. This tightness that you see in zinc, do you think that's going to get exacerbated in the months ahead because of all this, you know, these infrastructure plans and stuff like that? Or is it just simply that there's just not available supply to catch up to demand?
Well, there's simply just no supply. I think if you have any kind of infrastructure spending and big demand shifts in the zinc space or that would have impacts on the zinc space, that would even further drive things because right now it's a supply side problem. Zinc at the end of the day is the fourth most consumed metal in the world. It's used in everyday lives, primarily for, again, galvanization is about half of demand, which is going to be big on infrastructure. If you look at it where it's playing out, I think it continues to go forward in the future. And then if you have any kind of supply constraint, whether a mine goes down for a strike or what have you, it can further, push things on the supply side. China, for example, has been going out there and really tightening their environmental concerns that caused numerous zinc mines to to come offline last year. You had some very large mines over the past 3 or 4 years that have come offline that have really led to about a 15% reduction in global mine supply for the zinc space that's not readily replaceable. Glencore shut off some, you know, a few of their operating mines when zinc went to sub 80 cents. They're restarting some of those right now, but I definitely don't think they're going to be rushed to be too eager to restart them where it would have any kind of impact on the pricing. If you look at, you know, analysts such as Wood Mackenzie, that's very respected, they're calling for roughly about $1.80 zinc in the coming months, which would be an, you know, even further move from where we hit earlier this week at $1.63. And just last week, it was, you know, around $1.52, $1.54. So again, it can move because of the tightness in the market. It wouldn't surprise me. And again, if you look back to the last cycle, in terms of, you know, how these cycles take place, in 2006, you had zinc go from, you know, sub 50 cents up well over $2 briefly before retracing roughly for 50% to around $1 a pound where it was trading for the past few years. So it's just a matter of time for the cycle to play out where, again, over the past 5 or 6 years, you've had that inventory dwindle, which has, you know, caused this move in the price actions you've seen in zinc so far.
Yeah. So to sum up, Max, let me see if I got this straight. The supply of zinc is almost historically low. Demand for zinc is rising. The dollar is falling, and that will lift all commodity prices, which will probably prompt a flow of funds into the commodity sector. And you're already on zinc, about the price is about 30% above your baseline that you got to have. Max, would you please tell everybody what your equity symbol is in Toronto in the U.S. just so they can go check this out for themselves?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. We trade on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the ticker CNX, also on the OTCQX under the ticker CLLXF.
I got to tell you, everybody should do their own due diligence, obviously. But boy, this is a story that touches all the bases of stuff that we've been talking about here at TFMR and projecting going forward. And so, Max, I got to tell you, it's a real treat to get a chance to visit with you, get caught up today. And
yeah, it's great catching up with you.
Hey, though it's been maybe 16 months since we last spoke, I think we should try to talk again before another 16 months has passed.
Absolutely. A lot has changed in that time.
You bet. Well, all the best, my friend, and go get them. And hey, we're going to sign off at this point. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I hope you found this interesting and helpful.